Hello, I'm Toy Johnson Vincent, your no sugarcoating coach. You won't believe it, folks, who I have in the house today. This is so amazing. I mean, just her smile, just by that really big, beautiful smile, you know she's coming with her friendship thing going on. And not only that, first of all, let me just introduce her briefly. She'll introduce herself. We're talking Beverly Carter Brock. Beverly Carter Brock. Say that three times and see if you can do it. I got to tell you, welcome to Speak to Me First podcast show. I'm Toy Johnson Vincent. Most people know me as Coach Toy, the no sugarcoating coach. And today, my longtime friend, who I hadn't really seen in years, but we have collectively found one another, and another friend, which is part of our vocal group from way back when. I won't date us today, but it doesn't matter because we looking good from way back in the day. And so if you've ever had a friend, if you've ever been a part of a singing group or any group or something like that within your neighborhoods and everything, and you happen to be based out of New York, this is the episode for you. Without further ado, I'm telling you folks, she's a superb vocalist. She says she only sings somewhere else now, but hey, and maybe she'll hum a few bars. And she's fantastic as a sales advisor, but she's been a longtime career working as an executive administrative professional. And without further ado, because we're on a timer, folks, you know how podcasts are. Welcome to my national and international folks today. Let's get started bringing in Beverly Carter Brock. Beverly, how are you?
I'm fine, Tori. How are you? Hi, everybody.
Yes, yes. And believe me, once they hear your little bit of your story and everything, it's going to be fine. And enlighten us and empower the audience today, both national and international audience, Beverly.
I hope so.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's get right started. So tell me, Beverly, what have you been up to all of these years? I haven't seen you. I know we connected off camera, but can you tell everybody a little bit about yourself and what are you up to now?
Yes, I've been married. I have two sons. I have five grandkids. Like you said, I've been working forever. I'm living on the East Coast. Just got a new job after 2 years after this COVID thing. And I have a new boyfriend, and I'm doing well.
Wow. Yeah, you know what, folks? She slipped that right in, talking about friendships. She slipped that right. Nothing wrong with that. You're happy. You're happy. And, you know, I wanted really to talk to you because I'm really reconnecting with a lot of people that I've met, even as far back as high school. And people don't understand this. I mean, we were in or part of a group of four ladies, and we were just in our late teens. Essentially, I was pretty much coming out of high school. We were all doing that, maybe in the 12th grade, a little bit of the 11th grade, but I'm going to go with 12. And the next thing I know, you know, years go by. You can't find people. You don't see people. And we weren't really doing internet, you know? So can you just tell, you know, enlighten the audience, what has reconnecting done for you in terms of reconnecting either with myself, and we have another person in the group, Brenda, and we have one more person that we're looking for, Lady Bathsheba, and hopefully that will all come together. But for right now, briefly, what is this reconnection and the friendship zone? How has that affected you at all?
Reconnecting has been a lifesaver, especially at these past 2 years with COVID, you know, being in the house, scared to go out, only going to the store, running out, running back in, you know, everybody's on the phone, you see people online, not really knowing who to talk to, but I am so, so thankful you found me. I have been missing you guys. I haven't seen you in 42 years. Remember?
Well.
And then I saw you on Classmates. And then I said, that's Toy. And then you started talking and you said, is that Beverly Carter? I said, yeah, this is me. And I'm like, yeah, I got my sisters back.
Yes.
Remember how close we used to be. And after reconnecting, I feel like we have not skipped feet.
Mm, absolutely. And you said that. So thank, and I'm thankful too, because one of the things in my particular background as a speaker and a coach, as you already know, we've been over that background, but I was always one that liked to bring people together. So, you know, developing parties from the age of 10 in a Brooklyn basement. That's the thing we do have in common. We're both from New York. I was pretty much born in Queens and raised in Brooklyn in the Crown Heights section. But for those New Yorkers out there, they always want to know, what part of New York? Tell them, Beverly, what part of or areas
in
New York?
Bed-Stuy, do or die.
Wow, okay.
That's my story, and I'm sticking
and
to it.
And she's sticking to it. There you go. So Bed-Stuy is in the house, historical Bed-Stuy, you might add. And of course, we Crown Heights, we're kind of up the hill or whatever. And I don't know, we have our own thing up there too. But in terms of, you know, we're back to that whole friendship thing. I was thinking, because we've been on a number of Zoom calls, and you know, when you say, well, you're just going to do 5 minutes of a call, and next thing you know, it's like 2 hours and 50 minutes of a call.
Right, that's what we do. We get carried away. We just get lost in time, and I'm loving it.
Oh man, this is something. This is something. So, you know, with that said, tell me a little bit about your career, because you are semi-retired at this point, and what are some kind of tips that you can talk to people about, particularly women, you know, to empower them, say, hey, I know you said you just re-entered the workforce, but, you know, can you just give us a glimpse of what is that like now? You thought you were fully retired and now you're back.
Okay, to be honest with you, again, you know, I just started working a few months ago. Mm-hmm. I was at home for 2 years. In my view, retirement is not all it's cracked up to be. I was going nuts because of COVID. Mm-hmm. You couldn't do anything. You mm-hmm. couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't invite anybody in. Mm-hmm. So I was just stuck here with myself. So I had to learn how to tolerate myself mm-hmm. and keep myself busy. Okay. So I'm just saying, if you can reconnect, please do so. It will enrich your life so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
So much.
Absolutely. I'm with you on that. And we have to do more of reconnecting, you know, in all sorts of ways in our communities. You know, not only that, you know, some people, they're very involved in their church organizations.
Right.
Other people involved with, they have family events, but they kind of stay together, a reunion of sorts. And
right.
Why is this so? Why do you think it's so important at this juncture in your life and your life skills journey, really important to keep friends, you know, friends and or family close?
Because even though we have the good Lord, we still need each other. Even if it's not physical contact, we need to be able to see each other. Mm-hmm. We need to be able to mentally connect with each other mm-hmm. and just, you know, just know we're not alone. We're all in this together.
Yeah. Yeah, that we are. Yeah, and the last almost 2.5 years have taught us a lot. Very difficult for people. And, you know, one of the things when you mentioned interesting, because, again, your background, I talked about it briefly when I introduced you, but you work for some major corporations, you know, for a number of years and then decided to retire.
Right.
And then when COVID thing, you said, well, I'm not going back into the office.
Right. And I'm going to work at home. So I work at home mm-hmm. and I'm loving it.
And
I'm
loving
still associated with people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not, you know, out in the public. But I love what I'm doing.
Wow.
I'm connected. You know, I had to have, I needed to have a purpose. And being retired, I didn't feel like I had one.
Mm.
I was always home. You know, mm-hmm. run out to the store, do this. Run out to the mall, do that. And then you run right back home. Then what do? You're just here by yourself. I needed a purpose. I needed a real reason to get up in the morning. So I went back to work. And I did.
Yeah, that may be a hashtag. So I went back to work. Yeah. We might hashtag that out when I put this out on there. Maybe, you know, hashtag. So I went back to
part-time. Right.
Yeah.
Yes. If it's only part-time, mm-hmm. to give you a sense of contributing, you know, to give you a sense of self-worth, because you're just lying around, okay, I'm going to watch 3 or 4 movies today, I'm going to eat, I'm not really hungry, but there's nothing else to do. Go to work, volunteer, whatever it is you do, do something to make you feel good about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, because we hadn't actually seen each other in so many years, and it, being involved, I try to volunteer. I'm glad that you mentioned that, because that's real important to me, you know, as a speaker, as a coach. What good is all my background in HR if I can't really lend it to others? You know, and I talk about this a lot, you know, with my own learning challenges, you know, growing up in school, I struggled, you know, I mean, mostly through college. It's amazing. I got out of high school, but then college kind of threw me for a loop. But then I realized, wow, I probably was having issues all along, but it just didn't connect. And when I think about that, I love to volunteer and give back, because people, they say, well, you don't seem shy. You said you were shy in some of my things I talk about. And I'm like, but you're a speaker. And so we all have that hidden talent, and you act on it. And then you think about, well, maybe there's some of the negatives. You just turn it into a positive. Now, on that note, we're going to move right on into the life skills journey. Have you had to turn some really negative things that have happened in your life into a positive? And if so, what would your tips be for other people listening, particularly women in communities all across the globe?
Okay, what I need to say, and this has really helped me in my work world as well as my professional world, even if you feel like you've hit the bottom and there's nowhere to go, just remember, don't give up. It's like that song by Donna McLurkin, stand. Stand. Don't give up, because if you reach bottom, there's nowhere to go but up.
Wow.
But you have to want that, and you have to believe you can have that.
Absolutely.
And pray.
Okay. And you hear that? For those who's listening, again, you're listening to Speak to Me First podcast show. My guest today is my longtime friend, a native New Yorker, a fantabulous vocalist. I know she says she doesn't sing anymore, but if we can get, if we have time, we're going to hum a few bars for you, folks. I promise you that. And who knows? And either one of us actually might start shedding the tears. So, Barbara Walters, watch out. And, you know, but I got to tell you, so now you and I, we talked about this, and a lot of times people see the smile. They see that you're doing well. You know, okay, so you have your own thing going. You're your own boss, if you will. You make your own moves. You've been doing that for years. As far as I've known you, you know, you were out there having a career when most of us were still just kind of going to school and going home. So, but you were really part of that cooperative program in high school. So you had the work advantage over most of us. But as we moved on and we've matured and all of that, you know, anything with, when you talked about family, and we talked about this off camera, but only to share bits and pieces and helps of hoping, or in hope of helping someone else to empower them. And one of the things that, the biggest thing in my life that happened to me, which I'm very public about, because it's grief and loss. And I lost my 2-year-old daughter. She was a toddler. Her name, beautiful baby girl, Kiana. And, you know, and her father's family, awesome family. They're great and everything. So she had all of the love that one could have back then. And I was in my 20s at that time, not married or anything like that. But, you know, that was a beautiful child. And, you know, who was born with congenital heart disease. So you have to imagine, I tell people, when they say that and they see the smile all the time, or they hear my podcast and they, you know, it's just like, it's unbelievable, right? The unimaginable. And I say, no, something has happened somewhere in your life that you never thought would happen. And the main thing is, we go towards resilience. We have to dig deep for that, right?
Yes.
And so, is there anything that you could share you know, briefly that made something have happened in your life that was very dear to you and that you had to, you know, really try to balance that over the years.
Oh, yes. Well, as you know, I lost my parents at an early age. I had three brothers, one of which was my twin, and I lost all three of them. When I lost my twin, it took me 5 years to get over the anger, but I had to pray, and I had to realize that God knows what He's doing. I had to work on me, and I'm not going to say it was easy. I have been through some stuff trying to get where I am, but now I can think about my brother and talk about him and laugh and think about all the silly things he used to do. I mean, and I just feel like I was left back here for a reason. Okay, and again, we just got to keep going. We got to keep going and we have to pray. I cannot stress that enough.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is. It just happens to be you're on the show this month. I'm glad I kind of captured that because it is hashtag Mental Health Awareness Month. May is, you know, Mental Health Awareness Month. And so, and I've been hashtagging that out as I'm posting on a lot of my posts. And I'd love to invite guests that maybe they too struggled with some sort of anxiety and or depression or even something even more eventful than that, you know, because there are different degrees of that. And I brought that up to say that a lot of people will say, wow, you know, I can't imagine or losing a child or, you know, or a twin, because if I'm correct, you have something that's called twinergy. It's like nobody knows your communication but you. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Wow. And there were so many times, you know, in the past, he would pick up the phone and call me. He said, well, I just called to see if you were okay. And I said, well, you know, I was just thinking about you too. How you doing? You know, we had that. Now, when we were kids, we fought like cats and dogs, but he couldn't let anybody else bother me.
Oh,
We had that closeness. And it's been 24 years now, and I still miss him as if I saw him yesterday.
Wow. But you, but again, it's a daily way of life. As when we say move on, people need to understand, we talk about moving on. We're not saying that we don't forget our loved ones. We're not,
you don't ever forget.
And clearly, losing a child is what it says, psychologists and psychiatrists, anybody in the medical field will tell you that is the most, traumatic loss, period. That's how they classify it. But you know, and I stay stubborn, you know, I've been stubborn for years. I'm like, I'm not going to any help. I'm not talking to anybody. I don't need anybody. But I realized that was probably a huge mistake. And so, like you said, even daily, no matter what, you still think of him. He was your brother. He's your twin. And of course, the love for our moms and our dads, you know, or whomever may have brought you up and reared you, that they all are important. They're just different relationships, right? Would you say? Yeah.
And on our birthday, I still say happy birthday.
There you go.
Still here.
Yes, it's always in your heart. But I thank you, you know, just for sharing that piece. I wanted, because there may be someone listening, you know, with it has gone through just even what I've gone through. There are many people, you know, and when I say it's not just the woman, but the man, you know, the created and all that. So, you know, like my daughter that has a, you know, a father and who was very much in her life at that time. And again, although not being married at the time, I'm in my early 20s, right? But either way, everyone is affected. So I say to, excuse me, anybody that's out there listening to this right now, you've heard what Beverly said. You've heard what I said. And yes, you are going to keep going. You never forget. But you know what? Maybe you might volunteer in some of the things where you can help others if you've gone through a traumatic grief and or loss, period. So that's what I always want to put out there. And again, this podcast is global, folks. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Beverly Carter Brock. She is a vocalist. I'm going to just say she's a vocalist, period. And yes, and then she knows all about the Gladys Knight. Neither one of us wants to be the first to say goodbye.
That was our song. Yes,
she was the lead on that song. Let's just go right into that. I'm going to ask you, what do you remember about, first of all, we were a group. We were part of the Quadraphonics, which I don't know if you remember this, but I came up with the name. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. And you and Brenda came up with all the steps.
Yes.
Singing, y'all were
right.
Doing nothing. Y'all was going all over the place.
Yes,
and we were good. We were winners. We were good.
Yes, and Brenda said the same thing. And I said, you know, as we look back, a lot of wonderful people and talented people have come out of, you know, BKLYN. For those of you who haven't a clue about what that is, that would be Brooklyn, New York, people. Again, I'm born in Queens, but raised in Brooklyn. Crown Heights representing in Jamaica, Queens, and my father's family. But, you know, the reality is, what do you think that group had, what kind of effect did it have on your life, if any, as you move forward with your life? Because, again, we were really, it was a long time ago, and then as we matured, we kind of got out of touch. But I'm just wondering, when you think back, even through our most recent conversations, you know, that we've had with the other member of the group, you know, what do you think was the real glue to just the group being a group, and how did it really affect your life, if at all?
Well, I must say that I grew up with a house full of brothers. Okay. I was the only girl. I didn't have any sisters. I had very few female friends. Mm-hmm. And when we decided to form this group, I became sisters with you guys, and I never forgot you. And wow. I am so glad to have my sisters back. I tell you, you're gonna start me to cry.
Like I said, Barbara Walt. Yes. I mean, it hits a chord. It you know, no pun intended, it hits a chord, a musical chord of the heart. Do you think, because we could have been anything. We could have been on the street. We could have just not flourished in life. Of course, we've had hiccups, relationships. I definitely did. But the reality is, I just found that it was something to keep me off of the street, where you could have been anything negative.
Me too, Toy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you know, my mom died when I was 11 years old. Mm-hmm. So I missed that mother-daughter thing or whatever. And you guys y'all kind of filled it in, because you guys were my sisters. I mean, we used to go to practice. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you and Brenda would upset me so bad because the two of you were huddled together, and it used to bug me. Now, why am I not over there talking with them? No, 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 no. But then I realized you guys were coming up with the steps.
Yes.
All of the moves and all of that. And guys, people, believe it or not, Toy used to be the quiet one in the group. She rarely said anything. Can you believe it? And now look at her. She's a motivational
Yes. Well, you know, that's true. And I did have that shyness and more reserve about my way, how I moved. And that was really from the upbringing of my mom. That's just kind of like how she, you know, let's put it this way. She put the fear of something in me. And I just said, my mom was all about discipline. So that meant, you know, you go out, you do your thing, but you just make sure you better look the same way when you come back in the house. So
I learned how to get along with women, being in the group with you guys. Because I grew up with boys.
Wow.
You know, I tried to be a tomboy, but then when I got with you guys, I'm like, I ain't no tomboy, I'm huge.
Yes.
Wow. You taught me how to be a sister, be a girlfriend. I didn't have a whole lot of girls. With boys.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's very important. I mean, now when we're looking at by today's standards, not to sound too, you know, ancient, what, you know, are there some tips out there when you think about the way people sort of handle themselves. And it's like a lot of young girls, like we were young girls too. And, you know, my mom was always on me, like, I mean, really, I mean, that it was just do this that way. She always was striking that chord about being professional. So I thought the best way, and even though I had the learning challenges, like I said, I really self-diagnosed, not anybody clinical. It's just what I recognized. I should say self-recognized rather than self-diagnosed. And my mom was an educator in the school system with an advanced degree, you know, her master's in education, right? So for me, being in the group, I said, well, that's where I flourished. I was able to sing, use my voice. It wasn't only in the group, it was also in the chorus in high school.
Right. And including in the chorus
in high school, as well as singing in my church choir. And somebody said, hey, you're going to do a solo one day. And I looked around and said, they must be talking to somebody else, because I'm shy. I don't do solos.
And when I was in my church choir as a little girl, mm-hmm. I was given a solo, somebody bigger than you and I. And I would get up there in that church and start singing that song. Mm-hmm. And I would just cry because I saw all these people looking at me. Believe it or not, I used to be shy as a little girl. Mm-hmm. But then I learned that you have to speak out. Because if you don't speak out, you're pretty much not in the room. Let people know you're in the room.
Thank you for saying that.
Yes. And another thing, if you need help, do not be afraid.
Absolutely.
Not be afraid, because you don't know the person that's helping you. You're also helping them.
Yes.
I had to learn that.
Yes. And you know what? I like one of the things that you said, and that was, well, no one would even know you're there. You're in the room, but you just kind of, you know, they say you can walk into a room.
Right.
And you may be the quietest person in the room, but you're soaking up all of the knowledge. So we all have different personalities. You don't have to be the rah-rah, you know, kind of person. But, you know, some of us are more introverted than others. And I'm just thinking today, you know, especially when we're talking about friendship and resilience, it wasn't meant to be that all four of us in a group would have the same personality. It just wouldn't.
And we were all different.
We were all different.
We were. Yes.
And we settled differences in the most respectful way. So if we had anything, it was settled right there. But by today's standards, things can really escalate really quickly between families and friendship. And, you know, I don't know about you, but for me, on the family side, because we're so much in that friendship zone and information today. But when you think about family, you lost your mom at a tender age of 11, is that right?
Yes, 11. My dad at 19.
And your dad, when you were 19. And when, if you think about both of those ages, no matter what, that would have had to have been tough. No matter what.
Yes,
no.
I needed them, but they weren't there, so I had to do the best I could. Mm-hmm. And you guys helped me with that. Being in the group helped me with that a lot.
Well, this is why I'm glad that we were able to reconnect. And if there's someone out there listening, you know, and again, when it's our parents, we usually look to our parents and guardian, and you think they're going to be there forever. I mean, that's what, you know, you kind of wish that. And so the days that I was like, oh, my mom's driving me bananas, but, you know, I kind of wish she was still driving me bananas, right?
Right.
She would
be
older now, but
all of that. Banana driving and all of that.
Yeah.
I didn't have all of that.
Right.
Right. So anybody that still has a mom, please cherish her. Or dad,
yes, absolutely. Well, and I'm going to go ahead and move in. Thanks for sharing those personal, you know, stories with us. I do appreciate it. On this show, I love to highlight people with their, you know, whether it's their career background, but mostly also stories of resilience. And we've heard a lot from you today about being resilient. I mean, you know, again, the loss of your dear beloved mom at a very tender age of 11, you know, trying to process that. And then right at 19, when you're just kind of starting with the whole womanhood and figuring out, well, I'm going to college or I'm not going to college, you would definitely have started your career path earlier than us. And I appreciate that, because now I understand with your dedication and retirement, you look back and say, wow, you did it without mom and or dad all the way in your life. So I'm going to tell you, you know, I'm going to give you a round of applause, because sometimes we need to tell each other, you know, particularly women, we need to tell each other more that, you know, we love them. We love what you do. We like to support you in any way possible. So if I haven't said it lately, but I think I have, you know, hey, anybody out there, this is what you got to do, folks. Tell somebody today you love them and you care about them. And, you know, that you're here for them whenever you can. How about
and
that?
I'm glad you found me. Thank you.
Beverly says, I'm glad you found me. Well, Beverly, I just want to go into one area as we're going to wrap up this friendship. This has been so great having you on the show talking about that. Can you just really briefly, what does friendship actually mean to you? Because this segment, this episode really is all about lifelong friendship. Why is it important and what does it mean to you?
Well, again, we created a bond. When did we meet? What was it? 10th grade that we met?
Probably.
Anyway, and it was just something about you and the other two. We all connected mentally. We all seemed to be on the same page, even though some of us were kind of from different backgrounds.
Yes.
We respected each other's differences, and we went on. We took it and ran with it.
Yeah.
I love my sisters. I do.
Well, generically speaking, though, I got that with all of that. But what does friendship in general mean to you? Like, how is it important to you? I understand that we're talking about the group. But just in general, so people out there, you know, what does friendship mean to you? And especially now, as you are now, of course, we're both more mature.
Friendship is very important to me, again, so you don't feel like you're alone. Sometimes you can't always be around your family or be with your family, but if you have friends, there's some things you can say to friends that you can't say to family, and they understand and they don't judge you.
Yes, you said it.
The non-judgment, that means everything to me.
Yes. And so if the people who are listening, that's really important. Is it even more important, you believe, as a woman to have friends with other women, even in a later stage in life? Or do you think, after high school, I'm good?
No, after high school, I wasn't all that good because I didn't have all that. I had to make friends and learn people. It's hard to make friends, especially the way the world is now. Ones that we have, let's keep them, nurture them, stay in touch.
Yeah.
Stay in touch. And don't be the one to say, okay, I haven't talked to her. I'm scared to talk to her. Call her. She might need you. Call her.
Yes. She Call might her. Need you. You just said
Write
it.
Write her. Whatever you want to do, send an email, do it. Be the first one.
Be the first
one. You know that song said, neither one of us?
Yes.
Somebody's got to be the first one.
Yes. Yes. And like I said, folks, I've been talking with Beverly Carter Brock. Beverly Carter Brock, a native New Yorker, Brooklyn, is in the house today. I'm representing Crown Heights, and she's got Bedford-Stuyvesant covered, folks. Yes. And I'm going to do a shout out to Bay Ridge High School. If there's anyone listening to this, Bay Ridge High School in Brooklyn, New York, who may have gone or was in that college-bound program or that cooperative program, cooperative education, where you go to work a few weeks out of the week or days out of the week, and you do your school and you have to keep up with them both. Those programs were awesome back then. And so if you are a native New Yorker and you're listening, of course this is global, but I'm sure there's some native New York, make sure that you comment and share this podcast episode out. And you know, again, I always like to thank my national as well as international listeners. I know when I said that to you, like, what? Internet way? Yes, Miss Beverly Carter Brock, your voice will be heard around the globe. And we appreciate you for even taking that time out to come and talk to me, because we could be on here all day long. You know that. But I had to get you on that show. We need to get, and then we're in the process, if people don't know, we're just trying to get all of the Quadraphonic ladies together for a real, you know, proper reunion. So before we really end the broadcast, you know, it is Mental Health Awareness Month. And we are women that a lot of times, and women and men, but I just want to stay on the self-care thing. Do you have any tips for that in terms of self-care? Do you practice self-care? And how important is that to you as a woman?
Okay, to me, it is very important. First of all, it took me a long time to admit that I needed help. So once I did, I went and got the help that I needed. Mm-hmm. I mean, and even like on the weekends or whatever, if I don't have anything to do, mm-hmm. I'm going to do my nails. I'm going to give myself a pedicure. You know, I'm going to shave my head. You know, I don't have any hair. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes I'll just get up and get dressed and get made up, and I have nowhere to go, but it makes me feel good about myself.
Wow. It makes you feel good about yourself. So that is a truly self-care. That's what we're talking about. That's exactly, self-care is necessary. It's significant in your life, as well as friendships. You know, there, and a lot of times too, if you come up in a large, with a large family, you can be in a large family, but not even close to your own siblings or other people in the family. So it's important. I think friendships, even if whether you develop them outside of your family, you know, somewhere along the line, it's really going to help you down the road. And like you said, try to reconnect. Now we're in the age of the internet, the mobile phones, everything is there. So if you, you know, again, if you're trying to reconnect with someone, just try, you know, but again, don't be, you know, discouraged. Sometimes people really don't want to be found or nothing like that. But in the same token, if you do and you know that you were fine with the friendship, you know, way down the back then, just to try to regroup. I think it's an excellent thing. And we've done very well with doing that. And I certainly I did find you, like you said.
Yes, you did. Thank you. You did find me.
Shout out.
Diligent.
Yes, there you go. So anyway, this was so much fun, Beverly. I really, really enjoyed, you know, talking with you. Is there anything, you I know that you do a lot with sales and advising people and things like that. That's part of your job, you know, traditional, the 9 to 5. But is there something else in your life that you do? You still love to sing? That's what people want to know before we get out of here.
I have not sang publicly in many, many years, but you keep talking about it. So maybe once we get together again, I may have to belt out a couple. But I'm not ready tonight.
All right. Not even a hum? Oh.
And let it be a surprise.
Oh.
I'll be back.
And the song, folks, let me just say this for the record. You were the lead singer on Neither One of Us Wants to Be the First to Say Goodbye, a Gladys Knight song. I just happened to be in Atlanta. You know, you're in Virginia, and I'm in Atlanta, and that's where everybody knows Gladys Knight. I'm like, oh, that would be interesting if I met her. Then I'm like, well, Miss Knight, I need to get you on the phone with Beverly Brock. Beverly Carter Brock, who was the lead on the song. And then, of course, I was doing a lead on, oh my goodness, whew. Oh, that group, the Tavares,
yes.
Who is based out of New England. And I'm telling you, Check It Out is the song. Check It Out. I'm not telling folks to check it out. I'm saying that's the name of the song. If you're really young and you don't know what it is, ask your parents or guardians.
They'll know. Yeah.
Right? You know, so there's a lot of things. I think for me, I asked you the question, but for me, it would be really reminiscing with friendship. Yes. I think friendship is great for reminiscing, The good, the bad, and the ugly. Because we learn. You learn as you grow. You learn as you mature. At least that's the way it should be. So I never really take it for granted that someone will always be there. I've learned that in life. Again, you know, it just is what it is. Sometimes you have to go through it, or you're going to grow through it. To grow through it, you know? So going and growing through things in life, as a certified life coach, I tell people all the time, as long as you know who you are and understand your value,
right,
then you can pretty much try to get through most of the things that kind of upset you or, you know, in life in general. It's a journey, folks. It's a journey. Again, you've been listening to I'm Toy Johnson Vincent, your host of Speak to Me First podcast show, found on Anchor FM, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. I've been talking to a lifelong friend, and her name is Beverly Carter Brock. That's right, BCB. You got it, BCB. And again, if you're trying to connect with her, perhaps you might check out her post on LinkedIn. That is the professional website. And again, you can also inbox me on LinkedIn for any professional career development help. I do workshops, virtual workshops, especially now, as well as individual career development boot camps, which now I'm offering a 2 to 3 day career development boot camp to help you elevate your career journey. So Beverly, I want to just thank you again. Before we go, is there anything you'd like to say before we close? Any last minute tips on anything, life, something?
What I said earlier, no matter where you are, no matter how low you think you are, don't give up. Because if you're down, there's nowhere to go but up.
Listen, I'm going to end on that note. If you're down, there's nowhere to go but up. Folks, you've been listening to Toy Johnson Vincent, your no sugarcoating coach, motivational speaker, certified life coach. I want to thank my guest today and longtime friend and group mate from Quadraphonics, based out of Brooklyn, New York. If anybody is looking for us to bring this group back together. And by the way, I want to say a shout out to Survival. It's Survival Incorporated, correct? That was their name, I think, the band that where we were singing and it was no longer, you know, yeah, I believe it's Survival. And that band was also based out of, were they Bed-Stuy? I'm not sure if that's where they consider that area that for practicing and everything. But I want to shout out to those guys because they were awesome. Met them at the Billie Holiday Theater on Fulton Street in Brooklyn. And by the way, we did win something in the talent show.
Yes, we did. I don't know where that's
you don't have to be number one. You don't have to be number one when you're winning, and that's the takeaway. But shout out to those guys. They were awesome, and we're wishing them nothing but the best with their families, as well as I wish Miss Beverly, you know, peace and success, because you're already successful, you know, just by being who you are. Helping today, you said something on this episode that will help somebody else when they hear little bits of your story, and hopefully they will learn something from my stories of resilience as well. To learn more about me or to invite me to speak, you can head to my website at www.tjvempowersyou.com. Again, tjvempowersyou.com. As I say when I end all of my broadcasts, success is in your future. I will contact Beverly in a moment, but for now, we're going to say bye-bye.
Bye. Record.